Peeps for leading us in just a real good quality time of worship. Now, if we could gather around tables, make sure we've got full tables if we can. So if you're scouting for a seat at the moment, just get yourself placed on a table where there's a few spares, and that would be cool. Where are you guys headed? You got seats? You're good? You're good? Good deal. We've got apologies from a few people, just to let you know who lets us know that they're not coming on nights like tonight. Cheryl, first of all, she's still sick. We're not well enough to come out at night yet. Michael, my brother, Michael, sorry, he's away tonight working. Del Ryan can't make it. Joe and Deb are also recovering from being sick. Leanne, Christy and Leanne Sallon are also giving their apologies tonight. So they've all apologized. You turned up. Thank you. Turn to your neighbor and say thank you. Thank you for coming. We really appreciate your time. I know it's always hard during the week, and we're all busy people, but it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it to do what we do once a term and just speak into the life of our leadership as a church. We can talk differently here than we can talk in church. So if you come into my office and you meet with me, I talk tough in there, real tough, because there's only you there. But when I come out here, I'm just a big teddy bear. Was supposed to be anyway, big teddy bear. And so in here we can talk tough as leaders. We do our business so that we can be better leaders is what we do. I want to draw your attention to a few things we're doing. Firstly, on the stage, you'll notice, anyone notice a change on stage? We've painted that black and we painted that white and black and black. And on Saturday we're going to have some cut-out design go over all the black part. There'll be like a bit of a design there. And then in the next little bit of time, as soon as we can get the right things, we're putting up some, what do we call it, Richie? LED stripping and whatever on here somewhere to light it all up a little bit and just give us a different feel is what we're doing in terms of our presentation on a Sunday. So we've got some other things happening around the area. Malcolm has organised for us. Good on you, Mr. Malcolm. Upstairs, our storage area up there has been painted and carpeted up there, and it's going to look $1 million in terms of organising our storage. We're doing all this in preparation for a special day we've got coming up that I want to invite you to. It's on Saturday, June 23rd. Saturday, June 23rd, we're having an I Love My Church Day. We have had one for a while, been waiting. I Love My Church Day. It's a new name for a working bee. And what we're doing is just coming out on a Saturday morning. We'll put the barbecue on and cook some sausages and whatever and look after you food-wise. And we're just doing lots of little jobs around the place that Daryl, Pastor Daryl, is our maintenance man. What he does during the week is he's our barista in the cafe for, I don't know, a couple of days. And then he's our children's pastor, also 8 hours for that during the week. And then he's also our maintenance manager and then 1,000 other things that he does. But the maintenance is too much for him, but he kind of organises it all, saves up jobs, and he came to me and said, we desperately need to have an I Love My Church Day. So I thought, well, we'll see if anyone loves their church. And we'll put it on and have a barbecue and eat some food and do some painting around the place, little things we've got to do. Nothing beyond your ability. We're not asking you to do tradesmen's jobs. We get the tradies in to do the tradies job. And then the rest of us do the rest. So that's on Saturday, the 23rd of June, if you can keep that in your diaries. Of course, we talked about on at church on Sunday that Fusion Cafe is opening up for Saturdays. We're doing a trial for a month to see how we go, see if that works for us in this area. We'd love to invite you to come along. It's open 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. So if you're normally going out for breakfast or you occasionally do that on a Saturday, why don't you plan to pop down? I mean, every cent you spend here helps us as a church community move towards making that cafe something that produces profit for us as a business. And so that would be a tremendous help to us. The food is absolutely amazing, and you'll have a great time at Connection and Fellowship and everything down here on a Saturday. So that's this Saturday. I'm coming down for breakfast, so it'd be nice to see you down here if you could possibly make it. I want to let you know we've got a prayer and a praise and a pizza night coming up. PPP. Prayer, praise and pizza night coming up. That'll be on Wednesday, July 25. Wednesday, July 25. It goes for an hour. We do our prayer and praise for an hour. Then we eat pizza for 5 minutes because that's all it's going to take. And that'll be a big night. So make sure you lock that in your diary. It's on a Wednesday night for 1 hour on the 25th of July. We've got some special guests coming real soon. Pastor Ashley Good will be with us soon. He's here in July, July 22. We've got Pastor Danny Gugulamucci who'll be with us in August. So he's here late August, around about the weekend of the 26th. He's here 25th of August. He's around, and so we're going to have a lot of fun. fun with that. Now, tonight we've got our cup, our leadership cup presentation to do. We haven't done this for a while, so tonight we're going to do something we've not done before. We're going to make a presentation to two leaders tonight, is what we're going to do. And I just asked my little helper, if Rebecca, if you would grab the cup and also the little gifts that we're giving. Also, because we're giving it to two tonight, and from now on, what we're going to do with the cup is, we're not going to let you take the cup home. We're going to keep the cup here, is what we're going to do. But the name is engraved on the Impact Leaders Cup. But what we have got for you is double the chocolates. And we've also got a $30 movie voucher in there also for the leader of each special equip night when we come together. So the leaders that we've chosen tonight to receive this prize, like every time we do this, are significant leaders in the life of our church. Everybody is significant. I hope you all get the opportunity to be given this over the next 20 years. And maybe that will happen. And, you know, it in no way represents the value of who you are to us and what you do. We just can't repay you for that. So, you know, chocolates and a movie ticket's about as good as it gets. So tonight we're presenting our first award to the leader for, I think it's April. And the leader for April is a very interesting character. This person is involved in several areas of ministry in our church life and has proven themselves extremely faithful. And I love the posture of this person on our Sundays in worship, and just the way they really lean in and engage and lead in our services, even though they're not leading on stage. They could very well be a worship leader. There's no doubt about that. This particular person, I guess, really started ministry in our church in the dance team. And it's got some pretty serious moves, no doubt about that. And I think this person really deserves the award for being a member of that dance team. I can't believe some of the things I've seen this person do. It should not be done in church, I'm pretty sure. And but beyond the dance team, has also been involved as a key component of our service team, serving alongside of Darren and helping out with our preparations on a Sunday and doing such a diligent job with that. But on a Sunday, every Sunday, is down the front here, hands raised, just loving Jesus with all of his heart. And he's got an amazing surname, this young man. And got some good blood that flows through his body and is really, 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 his parents have just invested so well into his world. Of course it goes to Brad Sorey. Why don't you put your hands together for Mr. Brad? Come on, Brad. We love you, Brad. Come on over here. In the middle. We're going to present this to you. We're going to get a photo, and then we're going to let some people say how they love you so much, Brad. Okay, now, stay there, Brad. Can we have three people? I would like three of Brad's sort of friends to name them. Grab the mic, quick, have a say. Tell us what you love about Brad.
Yeah. Well, Brad is a massive part of youth on Friday nights. And he was a huge... lost my voice. He's a huge help. And it was so good knowing that when Zoe and I were away last month, that it was in safe hands with Brad, just doing his thing, knows it, didn't even need to be taught it, just knows it all, and so consistent. I think that's a key word for Brad. You can guarantee you'll see him every Sunday, every Friday, and just everything he does in life is awesome.
Hey. Yeah, Brad, you're awesome. Similar to what Damon said, yeah, consistency and discipline and just hard work all the time is definitely just some of your key attributes, only a few of many, many, many. But yeah, being a youth leader with you and under Damon and Zoe, and just seeing how much of a role model for all the young guys, like if you have a young guy and you want him to turn out awesome, put him around Brad, because Brad is like number one role model, male role model, female role model, you know, whatever. those key attributes that everybody wants to achieve, you know, Brad could teach you them. He's got them all. He's a boss.
Yeah, Brad, you're a true legend and a real honest person. Like, a part of our Connect group, Brad is just amazing. He comes out with some of the best things ever. Like, the words are amazing, mate, and never stop that. Never stop loving God and reading the Word and bringing that to all of us. It's just an awesome experience just being with you and near you. And, I wish you all the best. So thank you very much.
Good on you, Brad. Brad, we love you very much, and you've been a significant part of this church from the day it started, and served faithfully, and you're an under-the-radar person. You don't make a fuss. I think what Damon said is absolutely true. You're Mr. Consistent in so many areas. We're extremely proud of you. God bless you. Enjoy the chops. Share them with Millie, and take you to the movies. That'll be great. Give Brad a big hand. Good job, Brad. You deserve that. Can't believe Brad saw he's got his name on the trophy. The next award is, this time it's going to a couple, a husband and wife. And this couple have, from the day they came into our church, taken a posture of ownership, a posture of serving faithfully and getting involved and really made it their church as a couple and as a family from day one, and put their hand up and said, we want to get involved and we really love our church. And our church loves them. We appreciate very much who they are as a couple and as a family and what they bring and what they do and the fun and everything. And they serve in several areas of church life. They serve in hospitality. And in the hospitality team, this particular person is involved in the cafe and pours coffee and might even make you one tonight if you're really nice to him later on and you're paying $4.50 or $5 or whatever. And so he is involved in the cafe area of church life, also involved in our food bank area and helps out as a volunteer during the week in terms of that. And his wife is involved in our children's ministries and serving there, and we're really thankful and grateful for that. And so this award goes to Tyler and Rachel Corbett. Come on, guys. Good job. Congratulations, Mr. Tyler. Rach, good on you, love. We love these guys, and they're very special to our church. There's the certificate. Don't lose that, because we can't replace it. You only get one. And so I'm going to ask three people around Rachel Tyler's world to put up your hand right now and have a say about what you love and appreciate about this. Yeah, we got takers, mate. No worries. Michael.
Tyler and Rachel, you're an amazing couple and a testimony to other couples out there and families. Tyler, especially, thank you for helping with the big move on the weekend. Mate, you are consistent, but you're passionate about what you do, and I really appreciate your heart for not only other people who aren't in the church, but this church. You make it your own. So Rachel and Tyler, thank you very much.
Good job.
I'd like to thank them both in very different aspects. Rachel, one, for the helping out in the kids' ministry. Tyler, for being there as a role model and just a good old bloke to hang out with. But these guys, if anything, is like, if there's always a need needing met, these guys are the first ones to put their hands up and get in there and do the nitty-gritty. And it's like, through everything that they've been through, they actually motivate me and inspire me with how they keep their faith strong through no matter what happens, and how to be positive and how to break through barriers. So I look to them for inspiration at times, and I'm very, very thankful.
Okay, who's last? Done you, Matt.
Do I need this, really? You guys are amazing. I think it just reflects on everything, what everyone's saying. But I've got a quick story about Tyler. I reached out on Facebook one time about who can lend me a lawnmower and a whippersnipper, because we didn't have one and my lawnmower guy charged me too much. So I was sitting in my lounge room waiting, watching a bit of TV, and I was looking at Facebook, and anyway, and I hear a whippersnipper. I'm like, what's that? Anyway, I thought a guy across the road's doing the lawn. Anyway, then I see this shadow go past my kitchen window. I was like, that's in our backyard. So I run out there. He's just come straight over and started whippersnipping my house. Like, it just shows the credibility of the guy. Like, he's amazing. And Rach, you're always reaching out there for everyone. Like, whether it's, you know, phone, text, Facebook and everything. And I just love seeing your passion. I know it's social media tone, but I love seeing your passion on social media. You just talk it the way it is, and it's just so beautiful. And I love you guys. You're amazing.
Tyler and Rach, we love you. We love you for everything. Hey, where you going? Have we had a photo? Have we had a photo? Photo. Hey, yeah. Come on.
Photographers up here, that's why.
Yeah, that's right. Rach and Tyler, we love you guys, and as Matt said, you're just always there first to help, and we appreciate everything that you do, and the grass in the back of my gully at home is getting pretty long. Just saying. Got some goats. Yeah, good on you guys. Enjoy the chocolates and have a nice night at the movies. There was an article I read some time ago, probably about 18 months ago, and I wrote down the 3 points of that article about the 3 most necessary lessons for a leader to learn. 3 most necessary lessons for a leader to learn at any level of leadership, be a pastor, right through all levels of church leadership. And those 3 big leadership lessons are these. The first one is servant leadership. That we learn to be servant leaders, that we have that same model that Jesus had. It's not about title, it's about function of serving others. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but I came to serve. And adopting that model and atmosphere and culture of servant leadership is so important. It's a big lesson that we always need to talk to. The second big leadership lesson for every one of us as leaders, it's a classroom of conflict management. Of conflict management, learning to do conflict well. You're going to have conflict as a leader. Some of it will be your own doing. Some of it will be other people's doing. You're going to have it, and so we need to learn to do conflict well. And then the third lesson is the one we're going to speak about tonight, which is extremely important, because many leaders fail and have failed in this area, let themselves down, and then also let people down around them. I've had challenges with it. I think every leader does have challenges with it. It's called emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence. And because I am a little bit challenged with my emotional intelligence, I have asked somebody to speak to this for us tonight. I've asked Pastor Mara Shell if she would come and speak because of her background as a professional counselor and also the mix of pastoral ministry that she's involved in, if she would come and speak in it. I walked into her office a couple of weeks ago and I said, what do you know about emotional intelligence? She looked at me and laughed. And I think she might have said something like, I know you don't have any. And I said, if I asked you to speak on emotional intelligence to our leaders, do you think that you could do that? She said, not a problem. I've got that. And so, big challenge tonight. I'm going to ask Pastor Maz to come. Why don't you stand to your feet and give her a big welcome as she comes to talk to us about emotional intelligence. Good deal.
Hello, everybody. Well, this is a bit of a different perspective, being on the floor and being able to do this. Firstly, as leaders, can everyone see me?
Yeah.
Just... Look, it's just a privilege to actually do this because, as Pastor Tony alluded before, we get to talk real talk here, you know, in a sense. Like, we get to speak on the things that not necessarily that we can speak about when we're on stage preaching. So tonight, I don't speak about emotional intelligence because I got it all. I definitely don't. I don't stand here and talk about emotional intelligence because I'm an expert. I don't, you know, I don't profess that at all. But what I do have is being around people for a long time. Like, I've been a Christian for 25 years, and out of that 25 years, I've had exposure, 23 years of that in leadership, in conflict management, in everything. So I've seen levels of people's emotional intelligence, if I could say that. And it's interesting to note that for me as well, as not just as a leader, a pastor, a friend, a wife, there have been some challenges and some growing up for me to do as well. So I'm here not as an expert tonight. I don't want to get bogged down on some theoretical stuff, but I want it to be practical for us as leaders. Is that okay? I'm not into the theory stuff so much, but I wanted to talk about this tonight and expose tonight so that we as leaders can actually dig down deep and talk about how we can be not just good leaders, but better leaders. Right. Is that good?
Yeah.
So before I start on that, you know, when Pastor Tony asked me to speak about this, I was excited but then a bit nerve-wracked at the same time. Because the last time I spoke about emotions, who remember my sermon?
Yep.
Stretch or snap. There was a lot more snapping going on than me stretching. So, but in saying that, without the snap, there can be no stretch. Without the pain of dealing with emotions, there can be no growth. So if you have some snaps tonight and emotional outbursts tonight, please don't blame me. This is a choice thing. You get to respond or react about how you perceive this to be. So without saying anything more, I just want you to just all stand up. All stand up. Everyone standing? Okay, great, great. I want you to just shake things off of today. Let go of the stress. Just roll your shoulders. That's a good move. Stretching, that's awesome. Okay, now I want you to sit back down. I want you to relax. I want you to actually close your eyes. Close your eyes. Eyes closed, please, no peeking. Just be aware of your surroundings right now. I want you to take a deep breath. Inhale in. Exhale out. Don't fall asleep on me. Inhale. Exhale. Be aware of your breathing patterns right now. And while you're in that state, being aware where you are, I want you to touch your arm, touch your face, just so you know that you're fully present. Now I want you to imagine this. You're driving in your van or a car, driving on the road, M1 maybe. And you notice you're just calm, you're just minding your own business, and you've got the music up loud, sing along. And you notice this car, a kilometre before, zigzagging in the road, and then all of a sudden he's right behind you. He's right behind you and he's making all these signals, hand gestures, beeping his horn, and basically just asking you to speed up. You just ignore it because you're not the type of person who will actually speed up on 100 zone. So you just kept going along, and this went on for about 5 minutes. Until there's an opportunity for this car to actually go beside you. And again, roll down their window and started to give you signals, tooting his horn and everything like that. And you are just started to get irritated right now. You're saying, what is this person doing? What is this person wanting to get my attention? So you just kept going and going, and then before long, you started to just do the same thing, just give him hand gestures and tell him to get off the road and everything like that. So after about 5 minutes of this, you decided to pull at the side of the road because he kept going and everyone's beeping their horn. So you got out and you noticed something at the back. The van that you're driving was actually, the door is open. And all of the stuff that you're actually collecting just was actually on a trail on the road. I want you to open your eyes. That may not be a very good example of a stimuli, but what I wanted to show you is that how would you have reacted to that? You could say a road rage. Because how you reacted to that stimuli, or how you reacted or responded to that, can gauge a little bit of your emotional intelligence. Because all of us have experienced them, that type of scenario, depending on whether we react or respond dictates our emotional intelligence. So why do we talk about this? Why do we talk about emotional intelligence? Because as leaders, we will experience lots of things. We're in the business of people. We meet people, we interact with people, we go to work with people, everything's people. We go home with people, well, you hope so. And then we meet all kinds of people, all people in walks of life. We meet them beaten, battered, bruised, broken, everything, you name it. Everybody has a story here. And everybody, sometimes a story, they don't want to tell their story. But it's important to talk about this, because if you understand the aspects of yourself, then the better mental health you will have. We talked about last week was mental health awareness. It's about taking care of yourself and taking care of the things that's happening in your world, because whether you like it or not, as leaders, what we have inside, if we don't deal with it, actually comes out. Now, if you have sat with me in some of the meetings, and I know we have had this opportunity, I will always ask you how you are. But not only ask you how you are, but I will always ask you, how's your world? And how you're dealing with it, and how you really are. Like, don't just get down to the nitty-gritty, but I will ask you how you're dealing with that. In our pastoral care team, I open up the meeting by saying, how are we looking after ourselves? Because in a pastoral care ministry, if we're caring for people and we're empty, we can't give the best that we have. And you as leaders, you can't get the best of what you have inside if what you have inside is actually cluttered with emotional distress and emotional things that are actually not good for you. So you emit actually and you transfer that to the people. So, you know, I have this, personally, I have a lot of growing to do in that emotional intelligence for a number of years, and still growing, by the way. So the truth is, you might have the best education, you might have the sharp mind, you might have all the goods and everything, but if you don't have emotional intelligence, or what they call EQ or EI, you won't be as an effective leader. I don't know if you know, but I've worked at Griffith University there as a HR advisor for 20 years. Well, it grown in that capacity. And I had to run this type of group of with our leaders. And the topic came up of the challenges and the confronting things that we as leaders have to actually look for in ourselves and have to go inward, because inwardly we have to assess, what are we doing? How are we doing as leaders? Do we actually leading? Are we leading people to the best that we can? Are we showing them, giving them the best? And how can they can actually be the best they can? I mean, God is doing that for us. You know what I mean? Like, God is actually asking us. He's mapped out a future for us, but it's up to us to actually walk into that future. So we've talked about why are we doing that? Because as leaders, we need to, and it's a very and critical, important part of our life. If we don't manage our emotions, our emotions will manage us.
That's right.
So let's have a look at what is emotional intelligence. And I'm very aware that most of you would probably know what it is, and you know, and you have experienced that. And there's a lot of definitions, but according to this psychologist, actually it started with two researchers, Peter Salovey and John Mayer, and this American psychologist called Dan Goleman wrote a book, and his book is called Emotional Intelligence, right? So it says here the definition is to recognize, understand, and manage our own emotions. It's to recognize, understand, and influence the emotions of others. So simply put, in my own phrasing, the ability to understand and interact with people. Basically, that's it, in a nutshell. So will you say, well, this might be easier said than done, but most often than not, we interact with people every day. Yeah. We talk with people every day. But can I ask you, do we understand people? Do we understand people? We are wired, you know, for us. Have you ever met a person, or maybe you're living with them, I'm not sure, or you work with them. Have you ever had you just started saying something and outburst comes. And it's just like, where was that tick, tick, boom? You know, why is this person reacting that way? You know why? Because we are wired not only for connections, but we are wired to respond or react on an emotional capacity rather than respond intelligently. So in the beginning, when I asked you to close your eyes about this driver thing, that was just a made-up story, right? But I wonder how would we react if it was you? Because you didn't know that the stuff that you were collecting at the back of your van was falling off, and then they were just signaling you because get off the road, you're actually causing a crisis here. But you were thinking this person's just being a tool. You know what I mean? It's just like you don't understand why they're giving you the signals, but until you see it, that's how your emotional intelligence is. So emotional intelligence is a broad spectrum. It's how we handle ourselves, manage and lead ourselves, and how we handle our relationships. I talk about this because we each lead a team, right? Even if it's at work or at home or whatever, we lead. We are born lead, you know, we lead in some capacity. But I wonder how you lead. Do you lead with explosions, like outbursts all the time, or do you lead with passive aggressive and all those sorts of stuff? You know? So this is about you being aware of how your past impacts your present. It's about breaking free about some destructive and patterns of our behaviour. And, you know, it's confronting to actually self-assess yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's confronting to actually inwardly look at yourself. Is that, how am I actually doing? Can somebody tell me? So, how? Let's talk about being practical. According to this psychologist, Daniel Goleman, there are five things that we need to be aware of about EI. It's about self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. So let's just briefly just have a look at that. Self-awareness, right? It just simply means become a student of how you impact others. Have you ever wondered what happens when you walk into a room? It's a strange question because in some respects, you've never been in a room that you're not in. Have you ever wondered, like, when I walked into this room, I've wondered what you all thought of me, how I impacted you. I'm curious. I'm not worried, but I'm curious. There's a difference. You know, as leaders, each and every one of us impact the room we walk in. Pastor Tony always says we are the thermometer, not the thermostat. We set the climate. We set the actually temperature when we walk into a room. Is it better or for worse? Do people tense up when you walk in? Do they clam up? Do they go, oh, here we go, here she goes again. Oh, I'm glad to see you. Or are they afraid of you? Or are they thrilled that you're there? Like sometimes I walk into a room, I said, oh, shh, shh. She's coming, the boss is coming. Like, you know, or ninja's here, like, stop talking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, while there's a joke in that, I wonder what is the actual behind that comment. You know, I have an old boss at Griffith Uni, and as soon as he walked into the room, he made me cry.
Old boss.
I said Griffith Uni. And I was so scared of him because he will always criticize what I was going to do. And I had to grow in that. And I'm thankful for him for bringing me through that because it just, you know, he wants to better you, but he just doesn't know any social skills to actually communicate effectively how you can better yourself. So, not because that's why I left the job, but it was just interesting to note how can a person make you feel. I have a person in this church, it's not in this church now, but one day we were having conversation, and actually several of them, and they said, you know what, you are on a Sunday, you are just like buzzing around, like, you know, I don't even know, you know, where you are, you're just buzzing around, I don't see you smiling, you're just like always a sour face thing, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, really? And again, my default to respond to that comment or criticism or constructive feedback is like, in my head I was going, are you serious right now? Is that what I'm hearing you saying? But in my mind I'm thinking, okay, let's hear that. What is your perception of each other? What is your perception of, you know, you never smile or you like, you know, but when you get to know me, I'm crazy. I get a little bit rowdy, but on a Sunday, you know, that's my work day, I tend to like just be on a mission, just doing what I have to do. But after that comment, you know what I did? I listened to that, regardless of how much I didn't really like that comment. I listened to that, and I'm actually trying to be aware that my facial expression says it all. So when you walk into a room, just because you're having a crap day, sorry for that, but if you're having a bad day, thank you for that correction. If you're having a bad day, doesn't mean that you have to have it on your face.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, so I know as leaders we always say, you know, fake it till you make it or like have your game face on. But it's true because we are leading the people that don't know about our story. We are leading them. And as leaders, we need to be able to be self-aware and be a student of how you impact people around your team. So, you know, many people have no idea how to honestly answer that question if you ask them. Because it's so hard to hear what other people think. What makes it even more complicated is the fact that insecure leaders are usually too afraid to get answers to that question. So if you're insecure, you wouldn't ask people. If you're an angry or defensive leader, I promise you, your team is afraid to give you an answer to that question. So, if you want to grow in emotional intelligence, here's a tip. You absolutely need to know what happens when you walk into a room. Remember, you're a culture. You're a thermometer, not a thermostat. Ask people what's it like to be on the other side of you. Do it openly and honestly. Don't be defensive. Just listen. Second thing is self-regulation. Self-regulation, simply put, protect your team from your moods. Protect your team from your moods. So, you know, on a Sunday or whatever, sometimes we have had a bad day, we might have an argument, or, you know, like the kids are just rowdy and you just don't want to be even at church, whatever, and you have to serve and you have to put a smile on your dial.
Yeah.
It's really hard. It's really hard sometimes. And because some of that, if you don't, too many leaders, let, you know, their team pay for what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
And no one wants to work for someone like that.
That's right.
Maybe you can stop yourself from feeling bad, but you can stop yourself from taking it out on other people around you. You know, in our office here, let's get practical, when people are in a bad mood or like you're just kind of a bit edgy, we just throw this. Snickers. You're not yourself. Eat one of them. But that was a cue. That's a cue that, hey, come on now. Take a chill pill. There's only three of us and I really don't want to have a whole day of thing. Mind you, I get that thrown as well. So this is just not a thing. Self-awareness is a big key to emotional intelligence, but so is self-regulation. If you can't regulate your emotions, you're in trouble. Just because you're upset, you don't need to take it out on people around them or at work or at home. Well, you're thinking, well, how do I process my frustration? Yeah, we can be spiritual and say, pray. That's a great thing. That's a good foundation. But rather than let your anger out, take it. Fuel your desire to practice, like, do something about it. Do something that will motivate you. Go for a walk. Take a deep breath. Spew up, not spew down or sideways. When I say spew up to God. Because
yeah.
More often than not, as leaders, we will do this. I've done it, so it's okay. I'm saying it for myself. Sometimes there are times in my life that I have not self-regulated my emotions and I talk across, not up. And unfortunately, there's consequences to that and it wasn't pretty. So you got to talk, like when I say spew up, means you just got to like talk to God or talk to the people that you trust. That you're accountable to. Accountability, that's another thing. If you're having a bad day, talk to the people that you trust.
Great.
Is everyone all right?
Yep.
Or is this too heavy? Number three, self-motivation. We talk about this. Basically, simply put, stop blaming others. Don't blame others for what you're responsible for. So when I say that, it's all about when people don't want to take the heat, they blame others because it's easier to do that. You know what I really respect is that when people say, you know, I'm a leader, yeah, my team let me down and everything, but I'm sorry, I stuffed up.
Yeah.
I'll own that.
Yeah.
That's what an emotionally intelligent person would do. Because it's not their fault. They're just kind of like, but they assume the responsibility of their leaders or of their team. Because, you know, I've heard this saying says the buck stops right at the top. It does. Like, so if anything happens, I answer to the senior pastor. he gets the blame for it. Not that we blame the pastor, but, you know, it's about assuming responsibility. It's about saying, I'm the leader, I'm responsible. Sometimes pride gets in the way. But owning what you're responsible for is a sign of a person that has a high IQ. You may not have caused a problem, but that isn't the point. I'm responsible and I need to get our team together to figure out how to push past that problem. So, you know, for our team, when you do something on a Sunday, if you're a department leader, you will have this all the time. You will feel like, oh, hang on, that wasn't done because somebody didn't do it. But doesn't matter. I'm the leader, senior leader of that. I'm going to take responsibility of that. This is about... And then you talk to the people in your team. You don't just leave it and rescue it. Have you ever found someone irritating? So, here's a tip. What is it about you that is finding them irritating? You have a role in every perception you have about other people. The challenge is, what is it about you that might be contributing? Ouch. Good. Often I say it aloud to remind myself that blame is not an option. And great leaders never blame. Instead, they assume responsibility. So take responsibility and move forward. Good. Number four, empathy. Your emotions are only one half of all your relationships. And empathy is your most important skill for navigating your relationships. Have you ever, like, sat down and then someone started pouring their heart out to you, saying, oh, you know, I did this, blah, 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 and just telling their story. And you're sitting there thinking, I'm hungry, I want to go to lunch, stop talking. And your mind is elsewhere. You're not giving them your full attention. What does that say about your empathy and your compassion? You know, Jesus, you know, he's the most empathetic, is that right? Human being that, you know, God that walked on the face of this earth. It was all about people, yet he had time for the most unusual thing. And whether it's petty or not, you know, it's a lifelong skill to practice empathy, because really sometimes empathy, it's all about walking in that person's shoes. It's about feeling their story. Here's a couple of tips for you. God gave us two ears and one mouth, so be quiet and listen. Because most often than not, when we hear, we can't wait to speak back. We can't wait to interrupt. And, hey, this is my story. But let them talk. Empathy is hard, but virtually every relationship you have can be improved by you being compassionate. You don't know people's story until you actually sit down and listen to them. So don't judge them before you even speak. Let them speak. And here's the big thing. Don't just know, but try to understand. Understanding is key to having empathy. So, number five, I'm really skipping through this because I really want to get into for you to get some practical tools. Social skills. The tools you develop in the other four areas that I've actually spoke about will help you resolve a lot of social problems that many adults would wrestle with, right? Your social skills affect everything from your work performance to your romantic life. So if you come home and you don't talk to the person that you live with, I mean, there'll be trouble. Or you just kind of go to work and you ignore your boss because you're having a bad day, then there's no communication. So first thing is that you need to really be calm and just regulate your emotions by actually asking yourself, what can I do? Remember, this is about being self-aware. What can I do to make things better? because it's all about us. We have a choice to respond or react into a situation. Sometimes it's never about the other person. Sometimes it's about you. Got to check your heart condition. So, over to you now. I want you to go into your groups that you're in and actually come up with some practical tools for you as a person or as a leader or a workplace or whatever you want to do, and write down in that piece of butcher's paper. Yeah, we're going to get you to write down some stuff. How you can be a better leader. I'm going to give you 5 minutes or 6 minutes to do that, and then we'll talk about it. Is that all right?
Yep.
Okay. Your time starts now. Write down out of the what I've spoken about, you and your team and everything. How can you? What are some practical tools that you can do to become a better leader?
Okay.
Guys, done? Okay, good. We're gonna do this pretty quickly. So, in everything what I've spoken about, let's revert back to. In the fact that how does this relate to our Christian walk? Can I just say that as I understand emotional intelligence and how in Christianity is that it's basically, it's a fruit of the Spirit played out in psychological terms.
Yeah.
So Galatians 5:22, if I could say that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, it amazes me how many Christians and leaders, how they underestimate how emotionally unhealthy they are whilst knowing lots of Bible verses and actually serving a church. Ouch. But it is. And so let's just have a look and break this down, how we can be better leaders. And we're all gleaning from each other, by the way. So this is not about a judgment of, well, you have a low EI and whatever. It doesn't matter. This is about us leaders gleaning from each other and saying, hey, how can we help each other be a better leader? Okay, so there's no judgment here. So let's just, one from each group, yell out what you want to sort of think on in any of these. Anyone? This group. What can you say about self-awareness? How can you be a better leader in the self-awareness area? Be humble. In here? Okay, self-care.
Graceful.
Sorry?
Graceful.
Is that in self-awareness?
Yeah. Confident.
Anyone in this area here? Self-awareness? Okay, self-regulation. How can you regulate your emotions? What do you need to do? Millie? Choose your attitude. Very good. You get a Snickers, Millie? Get a Snickers.
Filter your face.
Some people just don't have any filter sometimes. Anyone else? Sorry? Listen to criticism.
One more. What about that group from the back? Shannon, your group. How can you be a better leader in knowing about self-awareness, self-regulation? Lose the attitude. All right, guys, empathy. As leaders, we need to be empathetic towards each other. Care? Who for? Yeah, empty cup. Okay, anything else? Chrissy? Show compassion.
Respect people's story.
Good one. Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Woo! Social skills. We'll go on here. Oh, heard that before. Which quote is that? Anyone else? What about these young people around here? Oh, that's very good. Body language. Does anyone know the book Body Language by Alan Pease? Read it. You'll know a lot about people with their body language. What? Body hygiene. Yeah, that could be social skills. And how to be social in that is actually telling them that, hey, do you want some chewing gum? Sorry? Okay. I know there's a lot more, guys, but I just wanted to just thank the opportunity to actually just speak on this particular subject. And I know there's a lot more, but we glossed over it tonight because as leaders, we need to really practice emotional intelligence, not just know about it, but practice it, because it depends on your leadership. It depends on the people that you lead. It depends on the people you live with. And it's just going to be something that's going to enhance your life if you learn this particular skill. Yeah. You might not have it, but you can always increase it. It's a learned behavior. Great. So thank you very much.
Good job, Maz. That was great. Emotional intelligence. If you've been around church for a while or in a relationship for a while, you work a job, you're around people, you're going to have opportunity to have your emotional intelligence tested. And it's tested all the time in church life. I have a saying, and it's this, that people don't leave bosses, leave jobs, they leave bosses. They don't leave jobs, they leave bosses. People don't leave churches, they leave pastors. People don't leave your team, they leave you. And it's very true. If we can have that sense of ownership and responsibility. People are always leaving, by the way, but if we can assume responsibility, think, how can I be a better leader? We've talked about some really good stuff tonight, some practical stuff that'll help us all in how we do leadership, in how we do the journey, in how we do relationships, and how we do the whole people thing. And take it to heart. It's I love the fact that it's tied to the thought of Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit. I love that, that it really is so much God's work in us and on us. We've all lost people when we shouldn't have lost people. We've all done that. We've all said something and thought, that's just gone too far. You ever sent an email and thought, oh, I shouldn't have sent that? or a text and it's gone, or put something on social media and told everyone what you thought. We've all done that. I try now, if I can restrain myself, to get my emails read if I'm going to send a hard one. Because it's really easy to type and go, bang, there, told them. and you feel good for about 5 seconds. Then you realize what you've done. So it's all about being better leaders. So thank you very much, Maz, for helping us with that. And look, there's a lot of stuff you can read on it and research on it for yourself. But at the end of the day, unless you take the lesson and put it into practice, it's not going to help us. And so we just want to help you do leadership better. Let's all stand to our feet. Good deal. Did you enjoy that? Good deal. Let me pray for you. It's 8:56. Cafe is going to be open if you want to grab, buy yourself a coffee or a hot chocolate. We've got biscuits out there. They're free. And enjoy that. And also some Snickers for those that aren't feeling themselves at the moment. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you very much, Lord, for tonight. And Lord, I thank you that it helps us. It just helps us to self-evaluate and to be aware and to kind of look into a mirror and think that there's some aspects of the way I do this journey that I need to attend to. Allow people in my world that will tell me not what I want to hear, but what I need to hear. Your word talks about how we hold the word up like a mirror and it reflects to us what we see, and we see ourselves for who we are, and we could all do it better, and we could all be better, and we all want to be better. It's confronting to realize that we hurt people, that we wound people, and I have many, many times. And Father, help us all to assume responsibility to do this more effectively, empowered by your Spirit, with a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of forgiveness and a whole lot of understanding that you're just trying to make us better people at the end of the day, because people are our business. This is all about people, all about looking after people, caring for people, and taking people on a journey together. So help every single one of us to take the lesson and do it well, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. There's some bickies in the foyer and some Snickers and whatever else you want. Good deal.